Welcome to The Out Agenda, coming to you on archive.kpfk.org. I'm Rita Gonzalez.
And I'm Ralph Radabaugh. Rita, I'm going to turn the introduction over to you because I think that you will do a better job of pronouncing their names than I will. So take it away.
I'll try my best. Our guests this evening are Evelina Fernandez, who is a playwright, and Saul Nieto, who is one of the actors in the play Sleep with the Angels. And it was a kind of fun play. I did the interview by myself, sorry, Ralph, because there was time restrictions because they were still in the middle of rehearsals and trying to get the play out. So they were trying to get all this stuff together, but I was actually able to catch them for about a half hour. So I was able to talk to them. So it was fun.
So what we're going to learn about in the interview, obviously, is about the play and subject matter. And but before we introduce, we have some calendar items also. But before we introduce, you told me a story before we went on the air, Rita, and I thought it was a really, really nice story, real good family story. And do you want to explain how it went? Because you had this conversation with our guests.
Oh, our guest, Evelina, is going to talk about the play, and it's about a Latino family and some of the issues that, you know, it comes with any family because it's, you know, they have children, you have two adults, and, you know, they're business people, but there's always that cultural thing that stays with you, the little things. So it's their relationship with another individual who's a caretaker of their children. So we were discussing different things about how, you know, remedies that you have. You know, I'm sure every family has it. You know, like the Vicks vapor rub you put on your feet. That's something everybody does.
I don't know that one, but
Oh, you know that one?
No, okay. I don't know.
Well, that's a good one for us. Okay. Vicks Vapor Rub. In fact, a lot of people on Facebook talk about Vicks Vapor Rub and 7-Up always cured everything for some reason when you were sick. And there was another thing, it was a little saying, and there's a whole saying like sana, sana, corita de rana. So it was something that they used to tell you about a little frog. I don't know what the little frog had to do with it, but when you were sick, it made an owie feel better. Is what it is. So we were kind of laughing about that too. So it's all these little things. Sometimes you forget when you get older. It's like, oh, I remember that. My abuelita used to tell me that. So it was kind of fun. Reminiscing. To me, it was like a lot of reminiscing.
Yeah. It's so interesting when you get together with people that have similar backgrounds and the things you're able to relate on.
Oh, I want to share this interview with you. But before we do the interview, we have some calendar items that I want to tell people about.
Come on, Rita.
You know, it's Pride Month, but Pride is like totally different this year.
How
it's
so?
Like, well, because, you know, we're used to having, you know, Pride did start in Hollywood when it first started, and then it moved to West Hollywood. Well, now it's like it's moved to downtown.
What?
So, but not just there. There's also other places that it's also too. It's like Pride is everywhere now. It's not just in one area. It's everywhere.
So we're everywhere you want to be.
That's right. So for example, on Saturday, June 11th at the Los Angeles State Historic Park, which is at 1245 North Spring Street, it's going to be Pride that weekend. So that's at 1245 North Spring Street. So you could take the red line down there. They have names now, I think. They don't go by blue, green, or orange. Gold line. And then Friday, June 3rd from 12 to 3 p.m., Dodger Stadium is having LGBTQ Gay Day. So it's during the day. So that's happening at Dodger Stadium. So that's Friday from 12
during
to 3 p.m.
During the day? You mean when the Dodgers aren't playing? Or
yeah, they're playing. Yeah, and they're giving LGBTQ game jerseys out. So they're giving shirts out.
Very cool.
Yeah, so it's Gay Day at Dodger Stadium is what I'm trying to say. So then Friday also, June 3rd, is in West Hollywood Park, is having at 647 North San Vicente in West Hollywood.
Are they having a parade there or is there a parade in downtown? Do you know?
I believe they're just having just a celebration in the park is what it is. See, what Gay Pride used to be Christopher Street West. But it was in West Hollywood. So now West Hollywood is having its own pride in the park. Did that make sense?
Yes, it does. Yeah,
stay with me. I have more.
And then, are they doing the Dyke March too in West Hollywood this year?
So Friday, June 3rd through Sunday, June 5th, it's West Hollywood Pride at 647 North San Vicente Boulevard. So the Dyke March will be Friday, June 3rd. The rest of the weekend will be activities of gay pride in West Hollywood.
You know what? Can I tell you that I only went to the Dyke March once, unfortunately, because I had a really nice time. But that was the year that you were honored.
Yeah, I remember. I have pictures. Yeah. I have pictures of us. Yeah, that was awesome. Exciting. Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, also on June 3rd in Santa Monica Place, which is at the Santa Monica 3rd Street Promenade at 395 Santa Monica Place in Santa Monica, they're also having gay pride celebration.
Wow.
So it's happening. So bottom line is it's happening downtown. It's Dodger Stadium is having something. West Hollywood is still having pride and Santa Monica is having pride.
You know what? Except for West Hollywood, you can get everywhere by train, can't you? Can't you get to Dodger Stadium by train?
Well, no. I mean, they have shuttles. Dodger Stadium, they do have shuttles. It's just that it takes a long time to get home if you're waiting for a shuttle. That's all I'm going to say. There's a lot of things going on. And if you want to find out what's going on in your community, all I did was Google LGBTQ plus events. And then you put LA, you can put Santa Monica, you can put San Francisco. It just has everything there.
Well, you know what? I'm going to say just one more thing because I know we're going to move on to our interview. But Rita, it just, you know, you listing off all those things and thinking about when we were young and first, I hate to say that. Oh, you remember, Rita, when we were young and, you know, what gay pride was like. And we were lucky that we had a parade that went down West, you know, Santa Monica Boulevard in West Hollywood. Now they have Dodger Stadium, Gay Night or Gay Day. They have, you know, there's so many options to celebrate gay pride now all over the city.
Yes, and we have to make sure that we continue to celebrate because it seems like our country is getting very conservative and trying to take away a lot of our rights. I know I'm being a little on a downer on this, but we need to be vigilant in voting for the right people who care about us and our rights.
Yes, that's absolutely true. But you know what, Rita? We're here, we're queer, and we're not going anywhere.
That's
couldn't
right.
Think of a rhyming one for the last one, but that's
except
basically
if you're
it.
In Florida, but that's another story. Okay, on that note, let's introduce our guests. So joining us here at The Out Agenda is playwright Evelina Fernandez and Saul Nieto. I want to welcome you both to The Out Agenda.
Thank you for having us.
So it's a pleasure, Saul and Evelina.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm going to start with Evelina, okay? Because you are the playwright of Sleep with the Angels. So can you tell us a little bit about the synopsis?
Yeah, it's about a Mexican-American family. Professionals are both attorneys, and they depend on nannies to take care of their kids. And so the play starts when their nanny, Marisela, didn't show up for work. So they're kind of stuck and they're a couple that's separated. So they take turns with the kids, but it turns out that it's the husband's weekend and he's not available. So they're kind of scrambling. So she lands up finding a nanny because the gardener shows up and says, "Hey, I have a niece. You know, she'd be a great nanny for you." And she's so desperate, she doesn't know what to do. She leaves the kids with the nanny. So she's the gardener's niece. Her name is Juana. And I like to call her a Mexican Mary Poppins because she uses a lot of magic. But the magic comes directly from Mexican folklore. It's not really, you know, the kind of magic with magic wands and stuff. It's kind of stuff that we do on a daily, you know, as Latinos, when you say, "Oh, you know, I'm going to make a wish, or I'm going to pray to this saint, or I'm going to, you know, put a red ball of thread on my baby's head so to stop the hiccups," you know, that kind of stuff. Or I'm going to drink this this yerba, this tea, because they say it's good for this, or I'm going to light this candle because I want my boyfriend to love me more. Mexican folklore stuff that we do on a daily in our community.
Right.
So that's the kind of magic that Juana brings into this household.
Oh, and she kind of reminds people of some of the folklore that we grew up on, because even I have forgotten some of the things that my grandmother used to do, or right. my mother did. And then someone said, oh yeah, that always worked. Why yeah. I'll go do it. You know, I said, yeah, why didn't I think of that?
Yeah. Natural remedies, right?
Yeah.
I mean, now, you know, people are so into pharmaceuticals, when our ancestors always used, you know, the natural remedies. Even my grandmother, two generations ago, right. only used natural remedies. So this is the kind of magic, quote right. unquote magic, that Juana brings into this household. Mm-hmm. And so the parents are going through a separation. They have a teenage daughter who, you know, is going through her own angst with her body issues and feeling like she's ugly and that nobody loves her, that kind of stuff. And Saul's character, Alex, is gender curious. And so there's a bonding between Juana and Alex because of their otherness. They come from communities that live in danger, you know, of violence. And so that's kind of a long synopsis of the story.
Well, it gives us an idea. It's everyday life, and it's pretty much a typical family.
Yes.
Is what it is. And then with the sana, sana,
colita de rana. Sana, sana, colita de rana, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so these are the different things. So Saul, you play one of the characters, and as Evelina was just describing, is who's having, just thinking about who you are.
Yeah, Alex, he's a teenager, you know, going through that moment in his life that he doesn't know what he wants to be, you know. I identify as gay. So it kind of brings me back to that age, you know, when I was like 13, 14, 15 years old, where I was like, I don't know, like, if I really am gay or not. Like, do I actually like boys, or do I like girls too, you know? So like me, I was figuring it out. And so Alex, throughout this play, is just going through this whole like emotional roller coaster of just experimenting and figuring this out. But again, with the outside world being so cruel, that he kind of has to like hide that and like hold that in, and within his family too. And I think that's very, it kind of sheds light on it too, that a lot of times in families, it's in like families, Mexican families or Latino families, that there's inner homophobia built into there, you know? And so his family isn't as open-minded to it, especially his dad. So not only does he have to deal with the outside world of not accepting him, but also his close family that who are supposed to love him, you know? And so it's hard for him, but he finds this connection with Juana, who allows him to explore and be himself. It's just a beautiful, it's a beautiful story, you know, especially with him and Juana, where I wish I had someone like that in my life, you know, who allowed me to explore and tell me that it's okay to be who you want to be, and it's okay to not know right now. But that's where Alex is at in this moment. And it's just, it's amazing. It's beautiful. It's emotional. It's funny. Alex is a character, I will say.
Yeah. So there's a lot of humor in it, but it's also, you're talking about what's going on in the world too, because you're handling several issues that we're all experiencing right now.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Not only like teenagers, but also like adults. It's like, not only are we talking about being gay or experimenting or exploring sexuality, but we're also talking about other issues like insecurities and like, you know, in teenagers, like Cindy, who plays Victoria, who plays my sister, but also Juana, who is an immigrant. We talk about issues like that. So it's just, it's comedic, it's funny, but it's so real still. Mm-hmm. And it gives an idea of like, I think the audience, a lot of people will learn so much from it, but still really enjoy it. A lot of times plays like to lecture people, I feel, but this is not that kind of play. It's just, you enjoy it, it's funny, it's hilarious, but you still take something from it.
Now, the characters are both lawyers.
Yes.
And which is, it's nice to show characters as sort of-
Yeah, students. Professionals. And,
right.
I was trying to think of the word professionals. I feel like anytime you put an educated Latina on the stage or on the screen, that's revolutionary, right?
Yes.
Because you rarely see them. I mean, if you look, you know, at most of the images of us and film and television and even on stage.
We're blue collar.
Yeah, we're blue collar. And the issues we are dealing with, even though we do deal with immigration a little bit in this play because of Juana, mm-hmm. but usually when you see images of us, that's all you see, right? Mm-hmm. You rarely see us as professionals. You rarely see us as educated. We are everything. We're everything that everybody else is. We're doctors, we're lawyers, you know, we're playwrights, we're mm-hmm. actors, you know,
yeah.
But you rarely see us that way. And I feel like that's an important thing to do as a playwright. Is to write stories through a Latinx lens, because we live life and we experience everything just like everybody else. I mean, we're going through COVID just like everybody else. You know, we experienced the AIDS epidemic just like everybody else. We fought in all the wars just like everybody else, but that history is never told. So it's kind of like, you know, as a Chicana playwright, I feel like, okay, it's kind of my responsibility to tell these stories, because if we don't tell our stories, they may not get told. Right. And so this is a real story. It's about a real family with, you know, going through real issues and dealing with separation and teenagers and gender identity and having to depend on a woman from Mexico to take care of your children. And then who's taking care of her children in Mexico, right?
It's, yeah. So well, you're also showing as professionals, the cultures are still there. It's still with you. You know, you don't lose that. It's still part of your identity. And you know, and dealing with, you know, the machismo, it's still there. Yes. You can't help it. It's just there, because that's hundreds of years, and you can't just change it overnight. So that's, you're intertwining it all, which is nice. It's it's life. It's life. It's a slice. Yeah,
we deal with you know, some toxic masculinity in this household, and you know, the father is not a bad person. He is not a bad person, but he really has a hard time. He's homophobic. He's homophobic, you know, and so him dealing with a son who is curious about his gender identity is a hard thing. I feel like so many times, like my daughter, who's a young mother, she's like, "Mom, things aren't like they used to be. People aren't as macho or homophobic as people are so much more open now." And I think that's true to a certain extent. But I still think that our community deals with major homophobia. I really do. And I mean, what do you think, Saul? I mean, have we progressed, or what's your thought about that?
I will say we have progressed from when I was, you know, in elementary school. So mm-hmm. now I see a difference in the community. There definitely is still so much that we can work on. as a society in general, because the gay community is still being discriminated, right?
Don't say gay laws are passing in, you know, every state.
Right.
Yeah, it's scary, but mm-hmm. you are our future. So we're kind of hoping that, you know, you guys, it's all on you.
We couldn't fix it, Saul, so now you have to.
Well, it's not that we couldn't fix
no
it.
No pressure.
We move forward, but yes. it's like that two steps back, one step forward.
Yeah. And that's,
we're seeing the reality of that right now. So, and this play lets you see what's going on. It reminds us where we're at, is what it
yes.
is. So it sounds like an exciting play. I really want to see it. I really, really do. And it's opening up soon, May 27th.
And, yes. And then we'll be open until June
26th.
Yeah. So we run Thursday through Sunday with a matinee at 4 o'clock on Sunday. So, you know, it deals with heavy issues, but in the tradition of Latino culture, we deal with it with a lot of humor, a lot of music, and some dancing.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not a musical, but there's plenty of music. And Saul sings, Saul yes. dances.
I do it all. I do it all.
Oh, you act, you know. And you're just,
yeah.
That's exciting.
It's interesting how we found Saul.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I was doing another show at my university at Cal State Long Beach. And this was Device Theater. It's called American Distortion. And the director had reached out to me because he had seen me do another show in the fall called Protest Parade, based on the Black Lives Matter movement. And so he reached out and he was like, hey, I would love for you to be a part of the show. And I was like, okay. And he told me I would love people to, like, you know, contribute to it and write pieces for it. And I was like, okay. I had no idea what to write for it. I went in, both a friend and I got casted for it. And we had our first meeting. And later on, after that first meeting, she told me, my friend, did you want to collaborate on a piece? I was like, okay. So we came up with this concept of like a parallel lives type of thing, where she wrote a piece about being what it's like being a Black woman in America today. And so then I wrote a piece about what it's like being a gay male in America today. And so it was just a back and forth type of thing with monologues. I basically wrote about, it starts off with me taking off my makeup, going out into public and not being my true self, having to disguise myself as a straight male because of all the homophobia that's out there. And then eventually having to apologize to myself, all while sitting in front of a mirror. And so the designer for the show, Emily McDonald, she had reached out to me during one of our breaks during the show. And she was like, hey, I work with this theater company in LA and they're doing this show. And I would love to let them know about you. And I was like, okay, sure. And then I think about 3 weeks go by and I didn't hear anything. And then someone reached out and I was like, okay, sure. And then I met with the director, Jose Luis. And I was like, wow, oh my God, I got so excited, but I still wasn't like for sure that I was going to be a part of the show. And then they were like, can you come in for an audition? I went in for an audition like a few days later. Okay, let's do it. I'm so willing to do this because I heard about it and I was like, this role is for me. It relates so much to the piece that I wrote for the other show. So
a star is born.
And then a star is born. Yes.
Yes. Yes. And he's such a delight to work with. And he's so great in the show.
Thank you. And, thank well, you. Yeah. It's a pleasure to you all. Oh my God, I love it.
Now, where is the theater company located?
We're located downtown at we're the Latino Theater Company, and we operate the Los Angeles Theater Center. And it's at 514 South Spring Street in the heart of the historic core of downtown, 90013. So we have a complex there. We have 4 theaters, 5 performance spaces, and a beautiful lobby. We've been closed for 2.5 years. This is the first play we're going to do. And hopefully, you know, nobody will get COVID. If you come to see the show, you will be required to show your your vaccination records, and you will be required to wear a mask, trying to keep everybody safe. So so if people want information, they can go to the LATC.org, look at the shows we have coming up. This is our first show, and then we have a play about Alzheimer's, Andre and Doreen. And we have a solo artist, Martha Carrasco, that's coming in. And then in the fall, we have our fall season. So, you know, we have full seasons coming up.
It's a great theater. I've been to it.
Yeah.
I see several plays there. So it sounds like fun. And you're such a delight, Saul.
Yeah, he's such a delight to work with.
Well, Evelina and Saul, thank you so much for joining us here at the Out Agenda. We'll have it on our website, contact information, but it is the Latino Theater Company. And also the phone number, which is 213-489-0994.
Correct.
If you want to call for tickets, but most of us all go online now for everything. So thank you both.
Thank you.
Once again, our guests were Evelina Fernandez and Saul Nieto from Sleep with Angels.
We want to hear from you. So tell us what you think about the Out Agenda and the kind of interviews and stories you'd like to hear.
Like us on our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, or email us at theoutagenda@gmail.com. I'm Rita Gonzalez.
And I'm Ralph Radabaugh. Thanks for listening and have a wonderful week.
And remember that being out is the first step to being equal. Now stay tuned for This Way Out.